Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Lords of Limited, the podcast for folks who love all things Limited Magic the Gathering. Whether you've been drafting for a month, whether you've been drafting for many, many years in a monogamous relationship with Magic the Gathering draft, this is the podcast for you. We're going to come with the hits, big and small, deep, not so deep, but we're going to do what we can to help you win your next draft. My name is Ben Warney, and joining me on the line, as always, Mr. Ethan Crude Bent Blade Sachs. This is the card of the Hobbit. And I also think the card that is most likely to end up in the Lords of Limited Cube from the Hobbit. How do you feel about that take?
I think that's very true. I think we would be remiss based on, I think, the strictures that we will be outlining as we talk about the Lords of Limited Cube. I think it would be a miss to not include Crude Bent Blade, just like, not only is it a good card, it is iconic from this set. Like, that is the card you will remember the most when you think about the Hobbit.
Well, and also cool in the world of the cube, which is there's lots of things to do with it. There's ways to pick it up. There's ways to sacrifice the equipment that's left over. There's kind of a minor equipment theme that you can go after in in the cube if you want. I think it is a perfect fit.
Yeah. Do you think, are there any other cards that have your eye from the Hobbit?
Any other cards that have my eye? This is off the dome. I mean, certainly Goblin Plate Armor, since they can't wear mail. Or mail, since they can't wear armor. Which one is it?
First errated. You don't even remember what your problem is, what your rule
is. I don't even remember which problem it is yet.
Card is
That's how outraged I am about it.
Goblin Plate Mail. That's what the card is.
I think Bilbo would be on the short list.
Which Bilbo?
The common one.
The common one, yeah.
I mean, the uncommon one could also be sweet, but that is just more powerful, I think.
I also wonder about, like, Lakeshore Apothecary. Like, we've got Otter Penguin in there. Is Sahagins in there? Like, we could have a little,
A little blue draw two archetype.
Melange of blue common draw two payoffs.
Listen, I'm here for it. Then Plunder the Troll Shawls. Come on in if we're getting that going. Just Hobbit Cube. Hobbit Format Cube.
I mean, I think there's definitely, I have many cards I could take a scythe to chop out of this cube so we can replace them with some Hobbit cards. But we're here to talk LOL Cube. Like, we're going to talk a little bit about some other stuff in the Magic world. We can talk about the Hobbit for a little bit. I would like to talk Mix Up Draft with you a little bit. I've been enjoying my time there, and I don't know if you have been.
not through any fault of Mix Up Drafts. I have just gotten absolutely savage. I'll give you a taste of how one of my O3s went quickly so you can understand. So is the Brisbane Battler, is that the name of the is it the one in a green one that comes in with 5/-1/-1 counters or something? It's from Lorwyn Eclipse. You know what I'm talking about? The rare. Okay, twice on my way to an O3 with that, I played that on turn two, and my opponent, different opponents, played Contentious Plan on turn two and proliferated on it to kill it. That is how my time in Mix-Up Draft is going.
Oh, because, and it doesn't, that card has ward, right?
It has ward, but you just choose with proliferate twice, back-to-back drafts. That's how Mix-Up Draft is going.
That is really brutal. Only you could have that experience. Wow. But we are going to mostly be talking about Lords of Limited Cube. We are on whatever podcast's eve of new set season starting. We'll have previews next week for Reality Fracture to dive into before we gear up for the Crash Course and then our first impressions, etc. And we're going to be back on the usual cadence of our episodes train. But this week we thought we'd take a little detour to the Lords of Limited Cube. We were lucky enough to have the folks from Lucky Paper Radio, Andy and Anthony, on months ago. I had them on just to talk about Cube in general. You and I went on their show to talk about our Cube and like the things that we were wanting to do, but we never really talked about our Cube here.
Correct. We've done it on the Secret Extra podcast on Lords Unlimited, but we've not done it on, it's not gotten a day in the sun on the main app.
So we're going to talk about the Lords of Limited Cube today, the design behind it. We've been running these rotisserie drafts. We have three rotisserie drafts in progress in our Discord, and we've also done a handful of drafts ourselves and tons of theory crafting and thinking about it. So we're going to be here to talk about Cube. So if you're here for Cube design, or you just want to trip down memory lane with all the cards and ideas we're going to be talking about for the Cube, then this episode is for you. And like I said, we'll also be touching in on the weekend magic, the things that we've been playing. So before we get to all that good stuff, let's do some housekeeping. Let's talk about the Patreon. Patreon.com/Lords of Limited is where folks can go to give back to the show if they so choose. We got some great perks over at the Patreon. One is access to our Discord. Feeling a lot of love towards the Discord since the revamp. Certainly feeling a lot of love doing these rotisserie drafts. I'm hoping that those are kind of a mainstay. I can definitely see some folks being like on the outside looking in like, when's the next one going to fire? Very exciting. Like maybe we're going to have Ben join the next one and then toss his deck to someone else. So he not to have to have him play the rounds, but whatever. I'm hoping that that'll sort of be a, you know, as reality fracture wanes, maybe we'll do some more rotisserie drafts. Like it could be a, as the, at the end of a set season. But anyway, but not only rotisserie drafts, but just fun to check in on folks doing the mix-up drafts, folks still posting like Hobbit sealed pool builds to try and win some boxes in those arena direct events.
Bless those people's souls.
Bless those people's souls. Look, they want to put those boxes in the closet where they belong. You can't blame them. So Discord is an awesome community, and moving up the reward tier ranks of Patreon gets you access to our podcast feed, where you get not only this episode a day early ad free, but also access to our weekly bonus episode of Lords Unlimited. So if any or all that sounds of interest to you, please head on over to the Patreon, and we want to shout out our new patrons the first week that they join. So this week we're welcoming Connor, Evan, John, Memphistopheles, Marcus, Dylan, and Dave. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We really appreciate your support.
Truly cannot say thank you enough. Do you think Memphistopheles is from Memphis, Tennessee?
I would assume so, or at least it's a reference to that city. So why not?
It's a good name.
This message is sponsored by Raycon. There's something about the start of fall that always puts me in reset mode. I'm cleaning out the old, getting organized, and making room for routines that help me feel my best. One thing that's become part of that reset is Raycon's Everyday Earbuds Classic.
The active noise cancellation is perfect for blocking out distractions so I can focus on my music or my podcast while I'm working through a project or tackling my to-do list. They sound amazing, they're comfortable to wear, and I've been loving them lately. They're 20% off right now if you want to check them out.
I found myself in a real-life Raycon ad the other night. So I wear my earbuds to bed to listen to something as I fall asleep. And my wife, who I love with all my heart but is a bit of a mumbler, was trying to talk to me while our newborn was asleep in the room, and I kept saying, "What?" And she's like, mumble, mumble, mumble. I was like, "What?" And she was like, "Do you have your headphones in?" And I said, "No, but Jen, even if I did, with the awareness mode, I can still hear what's happening around me while enjoying my podcast." And I like,
boom,
turned to the camera that was there and winked or whatever.
They have up to 32 hours of battery life with the case, and the quick charge function means you get 90 minutes of playtime with just 10 minutes of charging.
The Everyday Earbuds Classics are the perfect companion for your fall reset. Go to buyraycon.com/LOL to get 20% off. Thanks to Raycon for sponsoring. I've never been to Tennessee myself. Gotta
never?
Never. No.
Wait, you've never been to Nashville? You would love Nashville.
No, I'm sure I would. I've never had a reason to. I think my wife has gone for like a bachelorette party or something, but I've never been. Yeah. Gotta go. MagicCon Nashville sometime.
Sign me up. Amen.
Thought about it. Decided to not do any kind of farewell takes to The Hobbit. And I kind of feel a little bit on an island. I mean, To full disclosure, I've not played The Hobbit this week since my last couple forays into the arena directs last weekend. Lord of the Rings and mix-up draft have captured my attention this week. I would have happily done like a 15, 25 takes for The Hobbit as a wrap-up. Just feels like the community largely is off it. And so I decided that we're not really playing it. I don't know if anybody else cares about it. So maybe we'll just tap out was my conclusion. Where are you at with The Hobbit?
I finished up my one draft that I had dangling this week. And I think I am probably also done, but not because I don't like it. It just feels done to me, like from the community, from us as a podcasting perspective, all that sort of stuff. But I think for what it was, I think it was a tight, neat little format that felt like Magic the Gathering. I would say, far and away for me, my favorite of the three falls. Small sets, not close to close.
Yeah. I mean, I do think a lot of that, weirdly for us, is just that it felt like Magic, whereas like the New York City IP did not. But yeah, I don't know. It's hard. I think just we can all just have a sigh of relief that this is the last small set on the calendar for the foreseeable future. No small sets in 2027, and maybe no small sets ever again, question mark. That would be ideal, I would say.
Yeah, for sure. And I think if we, like, if you wanted to throw out Hobbit takes, it's black red is the best.
Mm-hmm.
Blue was a good alternate option when black red was contested. Grixis format, blue black at the top of that. Green bringing up the rear pretty hard, but green black still doing well when you had good black cards. I do think the format kind of pivoted a little bit once, which was cool, which was like heavy black and it was pretty easy to be black X. And then it shifted to black was kind of contested and what do you do then? That sort of stuff. And just figuring out the crude bent blade of it all and the goblin plate mail and how to fight against large armies and just the play patterns of how do you mitigate crude bent blade? What are the... There were also hidden gem type cards like long-bodied gray dog. It went through the life cycle of a whole format, I think. It was just very compressed.
Yeah.
But I think the one of the things for me at least was the rares also weren't absurd. Do you know what I mean? Like in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I would be playing a game and then somebody played that flash 8-drop that like killed three of my creatures when it ETB'd and then blocked something else. Like that doesn't feel like a Magic the Gathering card. So from terms of a setting, certainly felt like Magic the Gathering cards, but also the power level felt like a normal limited environment power level to me.
Well, I mean, I think the fact that we keep talking about crude bent blade, like Prince versus Pauper format is not a helpful descriptor, but this was certainly a Pauper format. Like it was a set dictated by commons and you could win with densities of commons and, you know, the Lakeshore Apothecary on to into whatever patient instructor into the Heron. Like you're just winning with commons in this format. And that felt like a breath of fresh air to me a little bit.
Yes. So there you go. There's our quick hits Hobbit takes.
Hello to Mix Up Draft, which if you're
goodbye.
Your personal experience seems weighted towards some unluckiness. Do you feel like you're truly just done? You're just going back to Lord of the Rings?
I think I am done, most likely. Yeah, I'm currently on my third draft and I am 0-7.
Okay, that's tough. That's a tough
thing. Yeah.
So the mix-up drafts for folks who have not engaged with them are on Arena. I think up until it's dropped on Tuesday, it'll go through, I think, when Reality Fracture drops. I don't know if we're getting a cube this time around. It might just be this mix-up draft. But it's basically like a chaos draft, except rather than opening a booster of one set and then passing that, you have this sort of like digital mix-up of any card, non-Modern Horizons, Modern Masters, but maybe it actually includes those too. There are Modern Horizons cards, right?
Yep,
it's basically any card from Arena, it seems.
You better
like.
Believe there are Modern Horizons cards in there, baby. I have lost to them.
Okay, so it's like basically any card in Arena, but the packs are distributed like a retail limited booster pack. So you're getting like a rare, a few uncommons, and then the rest commons. So
yes.
It's a pretty low-powered environment.
Yes, with the exception of I'm curious to dig into stuff with you, because I think the one knock I would have against it, truly, like ignoring all the random insane stuff that has happened to me, is I do feel like a lot of the games come down to being defined by the rares, in my experience.
It definitely helps to have bombs. Does not hurt to have bombs in this format. But my feeling has been, or my experience has been, that like the decks that I have success with are the ones where I am able to, like, where you can meet a barrier or a threshold of card quality, like Blackjack Theory, just being like, how many good cards do you have? And some of that is up to randomness. There are definitely packs you will look at where you're like, literally nothing in this pack matters. And if you get a number of those in your draft, you're going to struggle a bit more in the Blackjack Theory of it all. But the other thing that I think really helps you and why I think the format is fun and skill testing is like, if you can do any synergy, any pockets of synergy that exist within meeting that power level threshold, your deck really sings a little bit. Like if you can get a blue red spells deck, and that's one of the things I like about the format, is you can sort of just be like, okay, what are the macro limited archetypes? Like blue red spells, red black sacrifice, or black green graveyard, or white red tokens, like whatever sort of macro things limited decks usually do, you can try and cobble together. And then sometimes you get to do things that are like a little bit more niche, like maybe you get a life gain, some life gain payoffs, and you're able to do like a black white life gain thing. Like if you can find that stuff, like some interactions of cards that you wouldn't normally get to see, I think that's when your deck's really sing. And that's what I really enjoy about these drafts, is I'm just sort of chasing that like build it on the fly kind of high that I'm getting. But that doesn't happen. Every draft does not offer that opportunity, but I've found that certainly more than 50% of them do.
Yeah, I think to give advice to people who are doing these mix-up drafts, as somebody who has a stellar record, but maybe can help you learn from where I feel like I've went wrong, I would say from what I've seen, the things that are doing well in the format are, do you remember when they had the first Arena Direct that was like the 9-pack mix-up?
Yes, 9-pack sealed.
And you had a lot of different ways for options to build your decks. That was one of the coolest sealed deck things I've ever done. And you were just trying to get a deck that could play Magic out of that. And I think like you're trying to do that here also. You want the things that Magic decks want. You want a good curve.
It's cabs, right? It's cards that affect the board state.
Yeah, you want a good curve. You want to be able to interact with your opponent. You want velocity. That's one of the things that you were talking about. Was it in relation to Hobbit Sealed or just Sealed in general? When were we talking about velocity?
Hobbit Sealed, but Arena Direct Sealed.
In general. Like, yeah. The best of one stuff. Mm-hmm. I think your decks want velocity. Like, I really felt that in one of my O3s. Like, and I knew that was an issue with the deck when I built it, was that I didn't have any velocity. I had like a green-white kind of cute +1/+1 counters thing going on. But then, like, had pockets of that and not enough pockets, but neither here nor there. I think you want a deck that can play Magic, has a good curve, can interact, can present threats, can dig and find its good cards and get through pockets of land. Like, all that stuff we talked about in Sealed, like, because this is kind of sealed-ish, but then the closer you can get to a more functional deck, like a draft deck, the better off you're going to be. But the ability to filter your draws, the ability to get through your 20 through 23rd cards, to find, you know, maybe cards in the top 10 in your deck, that sort of thing. That's what I've seen has been working well. And then any pockets of synergy you can get on top of that would be gravy. But that other just basic clean Magic stuff is even more important than the pockets of synergy.
I'm going to tell you about my two trophy decks in the format so far.
What's it like?
Well, I've done more than two drafts, so
it wasn't exactly...
O3s are in there, too.
Well, it wasn't exactly a reinforcing experience. Sure. Starting off, but I'm not like, jonesing to get back in there every time I get murdered by a variant. It's like, are you kidding me?
I had a Golgari start, and then pack two, pick one, the cat, Luris, shows up for me. So...
No!
Threw away a bunch of picks. Companioned Luris in an Abzan deck, got Insidious Roots with Luris companion.
So you're just playing Lords of Limited Cube. Okay,
I was just playing Cube. It was great. And then this other draft I had was I got pack one, pick one, Jolly Balloon Man.
The red white card.
Red white card.
Okay, yeah, that's cool.
And then pack two, pick one, I got Oni Cult Anvil. So then I pivoted to like a Mardu sacrificey artifacts deck. It was quite scrappy. I had to play like some bad artifacts to make my artifact count high enough for Anvil, but that was a scrappy, fun deck that trophied too. But yeah, that's fun seeing like little interactions like that. I agree. The caps thing, very true. And I think just slightly building, I have tried like when my decks feel or my drafts feel underpowered to skew towards aggro, but the card quality is just so low on average that like building an aggro deck with like clunky D grade two drops doesn't really get the job done in my experience.
That's my gripe with the format, I think, is that it's difficult to build aggro. And so you're building a deck that is playing for the late game. And then you're going to see people's rares a lot when you're building a deck that wants to get value. And then often whoever has the better rares, whoever has a rare that is unanswered wins the game. Like, so I do think I did a better job building the deck on this third draft, but my opponent played turn one Shadow Spear into Brigid, and like I just ground through the Shadow Spear the whole game. Like, I won the game other than the Shadow Spear, but I decked myself because they were at one point at 50 life, and like they were gaining life every time I attacked into Shadow Spear. Like, that card's obsessively good in a format like this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So yeah. That's, I think there are things like that. And then also just other random card interactions that I've gotten wrecked by that have no bearing on the format. But I do think it is a cool format. Like, it's a good draft experience. It, one of the things we've been bandying about doing an episode about is like how picks inform your future picks.
Mm.
And I think mixed up draft is a great example of that. Like, you start somewhere, and then where do I want to go as a result of where I started? Do the cards that go with my card match up in power level? If not, should I branch off in this other direction for more power potentially? How do I marry these paths? All that sort of stuff. I do highly recommend it, despite being 07 currently.
Yeah. And I think that is a fair gripe, that it will lead us nicely into the Lords of Limited Cube, which is that from a format that is somewhat unbalanced in the mix-up draft, as sort of that's a nature of the mix-up of it all, to Lords of Limited Cube, which I think is pretty darn balanced for a cube that doesn't have much, has not had much practice given to it.
That's because two expert limited players designed the cube. Those handsome devils.
All right. So, like I said, we'll link to in our show notes the episode where we had Andy and Anthony on our show, which was less about this cube, not at all about this cube, and just more about like spiking cubes in general, how to be spiky with cubes. And then you and I went on their show, Lucky Paper Radio, to talk about this cube. So we'll link both of those episodes, but we'll start by talking about what our sort of goal or ideas about the Lords of Limited Cube were. Like, what was the conceit of this cube from jump?
Well, and I think maybe even also for folks who aren't aware, there is a whole other world of limited out there in the cube community. Like, there's a whole other hidden community. And
It's not that hidden anymore.
I certainly feel like cube is having its day in the sun right now, currently in the last year or so. But prior to you guesting Anthony and Andy on our show when I had to take a week off, I knew there were other cubes. I didn't know how many and how many unique cube events there were outside of KubeCon. And so I think if you're thinking cube, like, primarily it's vintage cube, right? There used to be legacy cube, modern cube, cubes that were tied to formats on Magic Online. And then with the introduction of Arena, there's been Tinkerer's cubes, but largely digital cubes that everybody gravitates towards when they are around, and certainly have been more interesting twists on cubes online. But there's also a thriving community of people who are designing cubes, going to KubeCon. There's color shifted cubes. There's cubes that are only two colors. There's cubes that only one color. There's cubes in honor of sets. There's cubes that are old school, like if you want to sit down and play only old bordered cards. There's a whole thriving community, and I think if you're curious about that or you weren't aware that it existed, you should go check out Lucky Paper Radio, because it is currently, I think, my favorite Magic podcast.
Oof, yeah, high praise. Second favorite Magic podcast.
Second favorite Magic podcast, absolutely.
I would imagine.
Absolutely.
Okay, yes, there is this massive community out there. I mean, we're just off the heels of KubeCon 2026 was, I believe, just last weekend or two weekends ago. So yeah, the cube community is thriving for sure. And you wanted to build a Lords of Limited cube.
I got bit by the bug.
Largely led by you.
Yeah. After listening to Anthony and Andy's show, I just, like, this idea took hold in the back of my brain, which was, I kind of want to build a cube. What would a Lords of Limited cube look like? And once that idea rooted around back in there, I couldn't stop thinking about it. It was like the old days when you were a kid, right? And you had an idea for a deck at school and you were daydreaming about the deck you were going to build, and you couldn't wait to get home and go through the cards in your closet and build the deck. It was that kind of a feeling, which was a cool feeling.
Okay, so what ideas were percolating in your head?
Just what would it look like? And I think you and I bandied this about a bit some, whether it was on Discord. I don't remember if we were DMing about it or if we talked about it pre-show one time. But I think we settled on that it would only be cards from the podcast era onward, with the exception of the mana base. Somehow we ended up there. But we've also gone back and forth about, should the mana base only be, you know, the common ETB tapped duels or the common ETB tapped duels plus the fetches? I think we wanted to provide a good mana base, ultimately, is what we decided, just to have cleaner games of Magic or to have more ability to splash and bring in more unique synergies. Basically, the better the mana was, the more room you had to cook, draft in and draft out.
There's also something that I like about lands being high picks, certainly like fetch lands existing and those being high picks, or, you know, certainly I would they'd definitely be in the top 50 and maybe even higher, like top 25 of the kinds of cards you can pick in our cube. And I kind of like that. But yeah, I agree. I'm not totally sold on the mana base. And there was also a time where we were, you know, we've axed some cards that we could put in there, but that are like nostalgic for us maybe individually, but are not actually from the podcast era.
Right. And even spider spawning, I think maybe you could make a case goes a bit against the conceit of the cube, except one of the conceits of the cube is also that we would love to draft it. And I love drafting spider spawning. And there's enough fudging room there because it was in Shadows Over Innistrad Remastered, which is one of the arena bull draft of sets that we podcasted about, etc., that I feel like it's close enough.
Yeah. We also made the rule that it should, every set that we have podcasted about should be represented in the cube. So like Spider Manifestation is in there as a nod to Spider-Man. We've got Omni Cheese Pizza and Everything Pizza, and I think maybe a couple other cards, the Ice Cream Kitty cards from Ninja Turtles are in there. So every set that we have talked about that has come out since we've been podcasting is represented in the cube.
Yeah, and I think this one I feel the most strongly about, which is as far as a success of the cube, which is the packs should spark joy for Lords of Limited listeners. Like if you've been in the community for any amount of time or been drafting for any amount of time, you should open a pack and just get a smile on your face. Like dudes naming baseball players from the 90s or dudes naming football players from the early 2000s, like that. You just open a pack and you think, yeah, I remember that card. That format was great. This card was great in that format. Like that, we want you to have that feeling when you look at the packs. And I think certainly every time I look at a pack of cards from this cube, I have many of those feelings.
Yeah. You want to look at a pack and go, oh yeah, these guys, I love these guys.
Yeah.
And I do think that that has been a success. And I think not only like we want it to spark joy for listeners of the podcast specifically, but I think the goal is to not only capture cards or not only to represent cards that have captured our interest specifically on the show. Like I'm thinking of something like Silken Strength, which was a funny, like us pushing back against the data thing, like one of our cold opens that we did. So like Silken Strength, not a great limited, like not a great card to be have in this cube. I don't know if anyone's drafting it in the rotisserie drafts, but it's got to be in the cube because it was iconic for us. But then there's also like, you've got to have iconic limited cards like Writhing Chrysalis, Inspiring Overseer, Organ Hoarder, like the hits, the iconic cards from individual sets at lower rarity are going to be represented in the cube.
For sure. And I think also even people who haven't listened to our podcast, I think would open a pack and recognize the cards. Like we are not we're not trying to put obscure limited cards in there.
Correct. Yeah. So those were the goal, like the strictures and goals on the outset. Like here are the restrictions we're putting on ourselves for the kinds of cards we can put in the cube and the goal we want for like for people looking at the pack. I don't know if we've quite, well, maybe we'll get to gameplay because I feel like gameplay is something the cube has not had a lot of experience with. And we also are still trying to figure out what do we want the games to look like. Like I think we want all of it to the pack texture, the decks, the gameplay. I think it would be nice if that all mirrored retail limited experiences.
Yes, I agree. And another thing that we've talked about, bandied about, was rarity initially. Like we talked about, should it be only commons and uncommons? Should we include rares? And I think we've settled on like rares are fine, but you know, more sparingly, kind of the same spread of density of like mostly commons and uncommons and then some rares the way you would have in a retail limited pack. And I think another conceit of the cube was that should have been a bullet point in here was rectangles. We were thinking about like what are things that we like, and that was one of the things that Andy and Anthony gave us feedback about, which is one of the things they talk frequently on their show is about how much of a pain in the rear it is to deal with tokens in paper because they're cubing in paper a lot. And like they've even designed cubes to where like each color only has one token, like Andy's, what's it called? Sacred Geometry Cube. Like green has, I think actually maybe multiple kinds of tokens, which he's trying to fix, but the white only has human soldier tokens and red only has goblin tokens and black only has zombie tokens for ease of use tokens wise. Our cube has oodles of tokens and oodles of different tokens and oodles of things that bring something to the battlefield along with them, because we enjoy that kind of effect, and we're probably primarily going to be playing this in digital Magic. Although if we ever go to a KubeCon, you better believe I'm putting together a paper version of this.
Well, come on, we've got a little more than 2 months before MagicCon Atlanta. You're telling me you're not going to bring a paper version of this?
Not going to pony up and get a paper version of this?
Come on.
Listen, I would love to. I would love to. The idea that I will have enough time to assemble all that is, what I do have right now is like probably 3/4 of the cube, which is one of the ways that the list, like the cube started being made just by a list of cards, like vomiting out, and then we kind of refined from there. But I was just literally going through all of my draft chaff, like pulling cards out that I thought,
like in paper, you were going through your collection. In paper,
yeah, I was just going through stuff, shuffling through, pulling cards out, and then after that went on Scryfall and was like going through set by set and just pulling out cards that I thought, you know, like it was just zooming through Scryfall, commons and uncommons. Oh, I remember that card, or I remember that card. That should be in the cube.
Okay. We did ultimately settle currently. The mana base is like breaks the rules of the cube in terms of there's shock lands, there's fetch lands, and there's rare try lands. Like we have expanded the rarity rules and the when the sets came out rules for the mana base. I'm not quite, we've never tried the other version. I would be interested at some point to try a mana base that adheres to the rules of the rest of the cards, but that's not where we're currently at.
Correct. And I also kind of am doubting this after playing Mixed Up Draft, which is said we could maybe do a snow package if we added the fetchable snow duels from KHM, but you'd have to keep the fetches to do that, I think. Because like you can get snow duels right now in Mixed Up Draft. And I had an avalanche caller and got like a couple snow duels with it. Whoa. One time, which is the thing that animates your snow lands. And KHM is, I think, an iconic Magic set, certainly one of the goats from when we did our draft of drafts. But I'm a little dubious about how it would pan out in reality after seeing how difficult it was to get it to come together in Mixed Up Drafts.
I feel like those kinds of things I'd feel more comfortable with in a 360 cube. We should say the size of our cube is 540 cards, and I feel like when you're not guaranteed to see all the cards every draft, it makes it a lot harder to want to put those very small pockets where you're like, well, we just didn't open five of the snow lands this draft, sorry. I would leave that out. But the mana base as it is has fetches, shocks, try lands, cycle duels. It's a robust mana base, and that was again one of the things that, you know, Andy from Lucky Paper Radio is a big, like, I always say more lands. He's a big proponent of a lot of lands in cubes.
Yeah, and I think that's why we landed where we did, at least initially. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what is the count right now? It's 74 lands out of the 540 cube, which I think is actually probably on slightly on the lower side of his recommendation. I forget what his recommendation was, but
Well, but also we're trying to mirror Retail Limited, which maybe has less lands on average that you're picking. And we do have very high quality lands in there.
Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of like fetch up a basic kind of cards like Skittering Surveyor and Pilgrim's Eye, that sort of thing. So rarity, we initially were thinking, or I think I was pushing it to be a peasant cube for it to be just commons and uncommons. But ultimately, that left too many, I think, iconic cards for us on the sidelines. Like not getting to put Fires of Invention in the cube, for example, felt bad.
Well, but we started with the companions, right? Which are rares. We had said the companions are going to be in the cube. So once we open that door, mm-hmm. it feels weird to arbitrarily shut the door on other rares or mythics that could be a fun play experience. Like I think what you really pushed back was one of the things I was talking about. One of the ideas I had floated was like, do we put an iconic rare like Dream Trawler there? Like that's an iconic limited card from when we were podcasting. Like if you say Theros Beyond Death, one of the first things I think is Dream Trawler and Cure Best the Sea God or whatever. Mm-hmm. Should we put that in there? Because we also have Dreadful Apathy and ways to flicker Dreadful Apathy in the cube. And then mm-hmm. that's kind of like but I think ultimately probably that detracts from the net fun of the cube having something like Dream Trawler in there. So I think you were right to push back against that. But what we ended up settling on was, sure, we can have rares if they push the synergy of the format. Something like Old Rutstein is in the cube to help power up Black Green as a highly synergistic rare that is good, but not single-handedly going to win the game.
Old Rutstein is one Black Green for a 1/4, and like you, every upkeep you mill the top card of your library, and depending on what you mill, you get
a treasure, an insect, a something. Yeah,
we didn't want to maybe outside of the companions, and maybe what I'm learning somewhat in the rotisserie drafts, at least, is that even the companions are not ubiquitously thought of as power outliers as much as maybe you or I think of them as. But other than the companions, we didn't want there to be like you open up a pack and there's Sol Ring and you have to take Sol Ring.
Right.
Like we wanted it to be kind of a sandbox every pack.
That's how I've felt when I've opened packs so far as well. I could take any of these six cards, like the old days, how you used to think about Cube in the old days, but you don't really think about Cube anymore as Cube has been played more and more and more and been more run through the competitive ringer more and more and more.
Well, and even Retail Limited, like the most fun, I think, and the sets that I think are the most fun to podcast about where we have the best conversations are the ones where you can look at a pack and be like, I can make a case for three cards here. And based on which of those three you take, it says something about your intentions for the draft. And it also will inform, as we keep bandying that idea about like, let's talk about how picks inform future picks and navigating drafts and all that. What you take in that spot informs what you're going to take in the future. And I think that like the ripple effect is really present in this cube because of how synergistic the paths are.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the power level here, because we, I think the goal is largely to keep it flat.
I think so. Yeah. Generally with spikes.
Well, with spikes in either direction, because we also want room for like durable coil bug. One in a black 2/2, get it back from your graveyard for 5 mana. Like that's not a cube worthy card.
Listen, I've played that already in one of our test drafts in my Insidious Roots decks.
Sure. I mean, like, does it have synergy? Yes. But like, are there better versions of that card or that effect? For sure. But they don't have the meaning to us that durable coil bug does. So we're not like power maxing for effect.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Which I think is an important note, is like our relationship to the card trumps all, but it's a big part of the rubric. Yeah.
Yes.
Selecting cards. So the companions are in the cube, or what we should say is 5 of the 10 companions are
the ones
that
it's like realistic to companion are in the cube.
Well, yeah. That it's like we cut Gigantha, like Lutri and Gigantha are not there because they were basically auto companions and we didn't want that. And the ones that are like, I forget what's the black green one. I don't even remember.
Umori. There we go.
Yeah. So the black green one where you have to have like all the same card type in your deck, like which you probably could do in this cube, but it's just not that good. So we've got Yorion, Luris, Obosh, Garuda, and Karuga as the 5 companions that are in the set. And I think for my money, those are some of the biggest power outliers, some of the auto first pick cards in my mind from the cube.
Yeah, and I think despite there being power outliers like the companions or other rares, I do think there is still a lot of, at least in the few playtesting things that we've done, and I'm curious to see how the roto drafts pan out, you are definitely rewarded for putting cards in a home where they make sense synergistically, because when you don't do that, you don't meet what is the power level bar of somebody who has drafted a cohesive deck. I think you are rewarded for drafting cohesive decks, which is something we value also.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
So there's other stuff outside of the companions. There's stuff like Approach of the Second Sun. And I don't even know if this is a power level outlier, but just as cards that are like, this is a cool thing to do. Like, I think you could draft an Approach of the Second Sun control deck, which is the 7 drop that gains you 7 life, and then you put it in 7 cards deep. And there's also a lot of ways to churn through your library in a hurry to get to Approach of the Second Sun quickly, which is a big earmark of that card actually being powerful.
Yeah, it's been snapped up in a couple of the rotisserie drafts. I was thinking about grabbing it for my deck as well, but got taken by somebody else. Sweepers was something that I think we're still probably calibrating for. There's, I think, 3 sweepers now in the cube, 2 white, 1 black, and they're not like, none of them are Wrath of God or Damnation type cards. And I do wonder if we may need a little bit more. My current worry about the cube, and I'm getting ahead of myself because we're just sort of outlining things. One of my current worries about the cube is that like it's a lot of like, I'm doing my thing, you do your thing, and whoever does their thing better wins. Mm-hmm. Not saying there's not a lot of interaction, but like there's not a lot of punishment for I'm just gonna play to the board like crazy. you know.
And so you think more rats potentially?
I think maybe more rats, but I think we initially had none, and then it was like we got to have
some resets, yeah,
some resets, some ways for,
especially because so many of our cards bring stuff with them to like, there's just ended up with being a bunch of junk on the battlefield. I certainly that is where there is the most room for tweaking, because we just don't have as much experience, but tweaking how we want the gameplay to feel. That is something they talk a lot about on Lucky Paper Radio, of how do you want games to end, or that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And that is not something we have had a lot of discussions about to this point.
No. Well, we'll get a lot of data after the rounds of these three roto drafts play out.
Sure. Yeah.
What other stuff comes to mind as like iconic or power level outliers for the cube?
I mean, Cursed Recording, iconic, certainly, in terms of me loving spell doubling. And I do think that card is very good if you build around it. The blue-red spells deck, I think, is pushed partially because I love blue-red spells. And there's a lot of cards that are supporting that type of deck. But another one that's been seemed to have gotten a lot of conversation from the roto drafts is Mayhem Devil. That wasn't on my radar as like too absurdly good, but is certainly powerful. I mean, like, it punishes fetches. It punishes your opponent's tokens, their treasure tokens, their whatever, because it triggers when anybody sacrifices anything. And there are lots of things to sacrifice in addition to a sacrifice theme.
Yeah. I'm curious to see. That does not strike me as, maybe, I don't remember how many people, but certainly one person at least, pack one, pick one it, or picked it first in their rotisserie seat, which I'm not sure I would do as much as I love sacrifice. Mayhem Devil, I would be surprised if that was too powerful to include. Because red-black sacrifice is supported and just feels like Mayhem Devil is so iconic in that space.
Sure, yeah. And then Cat Oven also is in the cube. That might be too good, but I love Sorcerer's Broom and that whole world of Eldraine and that style of deck. So that's why that stuff is in there. And that remains to be seen if that two-card combo will be too pushed or not, or how frequently it comes together, that sort of thing.
Yeah, we have weaponized the monsters from Ikoria, the single red enchantment that pays two to sacrifice something and deal two. Spider spawning, we alluded to, like, iconic build arounds. And these aren't even rares, like weaponized and spider spawning are uncommons in their respective sets.
But basically, I think if you're sitting down to the cube and you maybe haven't looked at the list in depth or whatever, a good shortcut would be if you've listened to Lords of the Limited for a while, and it is a type of card that Ethan and I like, or if it's a type of archetype that Ethan and I like, it's probably good or supported in the Lords of the Limited cube.
One of the pieces of advice we got from Andy and Anthony was go low on your gold card count. And I also think we have intentionally, like, if we were to write an article or write a description of this cube to submit to KubeCon, we would not run down what the 10 two-color archetypes are trying to do, because that is not how we have designed the cube. We have designed the cube around, like, cards we like and kinds of decks we like to draft, but it's not like blue-white is doing one thing in this cube. Like, you could get Dovin's Acuity and try and build a blue-white spells deck. You could get Approach of the Second Sun and try and draft a blue-white control deck that builds towards Approach. You could do a blue-white Flyers deck that's a bit more aggro tempo. Like, it contains a lot, and it's not like looking at the gold cards is going to tell you what that color pair is doing.
Right. You could do blue-white Yorian Blink, trinkety artifact stuff. There's, right. Yeah. I think certainly we would want the archetypes to feel open-ended. That is a goal. And did we build the cube and try, like, is red-black sacrificey? Yes, but that's because red-black is often sacrificey in limited. Like, that's what we were talking about with the premier draft. There's overarching themes. Is blue-red spellsy? Absolutely, because blue and red is often spellsy as an archetype in retail limited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, one of the things, like, I was a little hesitant to, like, I'm like, do we throw Drakehaven in there? Like, we have Drakehaven in the cube, which is the 2 and a blue enchantment. Whenever you cycle or discard something, you can pay 1. If you do, you make a 2/2 Drake with flying. I'm like, can we put that in? Is there enough support for that in the cube? And I think one of the things you've pushed for, which I think you're right to do, is like, it'll be there. Like, there's stuff there. There's land cyclers. There's looters. There are ways to do it. We don't have to super intentionally be like, let's make sure there are 30 ways that are just for Drakehaven to be good, so the Drakehaven drafter gets those good cards. Like, it's a lot more open-ended, and it sort of rewards you for being like, ooh, this one in 10 drafts, I'm going to get a cool Drakehaven deck. And I think we're happy to have those kinds of cards in the cube.
Right. Like, maybe you pack one, pick one, and build around it. And that draft, it ends up being, I don't know, semi-supported in your deck and you run it and that's like not that good. Maybe you pack one, pick one in another draft and you get all the juice for it and it's the linchpin card of your deck and that's really cool. Or maybe you open it mid-pack two and nobody uses it and that's also fine.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. All of those things. And as far as other stuff to do, certainly loops, something that's supported. There's a lot of ways to loop cards, Clear the Mind, Bath Song, Colossal Sky Turtle, other stuff of that nature to reshuffle your deck.
Epitaph Golem, Junk Troller.
Yeah.
That is something that we like to do. Those are when those cards are good or playable in limited, we're excited. So we wanted to represent those in the cube as well.
Certainly Oops All Spells decks, especially in blue red, that I think is pretty supported. There's aristocrat style gameplay with sacrifice stuff in the Mardu space that is extremely supported. Sometimes creatures, sometimes artifacts, sometimes both. There's graveyard synergy rolling around. There's delirium. There's filling graveyard rewards, maybe too much of the graveyard synergy at the moment, something we're going to take a look at.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure if it's too much graveyard synergy, but I really value, like I was looking for, because I think so many of the decks in the cube utilize the graveyard, I was looking for ways to attack opponents' graveyards. And we don't have a ton of those ways in the cube, like something like Ashnod's Harvester, the 2-mana 3/1 when it attacks, exile a card from the yard and has Unearth, like feels like kind of a unique effect currently. And with Luris being one of the best things to do in the cube, like you really want ways to attack your opponent's graveyard. So that's one of the things I'm looking at.
Well, and I think also we had that discussion and that's where like we're just new cube designers and didn't know. But like I think erred on the side of we're going to put this stuff in there to do. Let's not hose it right off the bat. And then we can always add. And it sounds like maybe we're at the point where we need to add stuff to like how much counter gameplay do we want to the strategies that we're putting in? Like there's a lot of cool artifact and enchantment build arounds. We didn't put tons of disenchant style stuff in there because it feels bad to build your deck around Fire as we mentioned and then have it blown up by, you know, one of 10 disenchants that are floating around. So just I think continuing to tweak and the more we do gameplay, we'll figure that sort of stuff out, I think.
For sure. Yeah. It's probably a bit of column A, column B, like reducing some of the graveyard stuff because you're currently thinking like some of the stuff you've listed, like loops, Bath Song, Clear the Mind. Okay, that uses the graveyard. Though our friend J-Maz did point out to me that Clear the Mind is kind of graveyard hate because you can shuffle in their graveyard. Instead.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, then there's like Luris stuff. There's black-green spider spawning. Like there's a lot of stuff in the cube that is using or interacting with the graveyard. And so we maybe need to pare down that and then bump up some graveyard hate as well.
Essence Reliquary is a card, like bouncing, blinking is stuff you can do. There's tons of things to do with rectangles, like we said at the top. That was a conceit of the cube. There's a lot of cards that make tokens. There's a lot of things to do with tokens. There's token payoffs. Just straight up beatdown, we tried to seed in there. Just some good, aggressive cards to try to punish all the dirtling. Wilderness Reclamation is in. I'm not sure how supported that one is currently, but that is a favorite card of mine from one of the first runs around of the Arena Cube.
Yeah, I think Wilderness Reclamation. Well, you were also a proponent of this card just in, it was Ravnica Allegiance was that set, right? You were just a proponent of, you can just draft green, blue.
Wilderness Reclamation ramp, yeah.
Yeah, and then cast stuff on your opponent's turn. Yeah, I don't know how supported it is. I bet it is. People just aren't dreaming big enough for it yet.
Yeah, there's standard two color decks. I think you can cook and follow your heart and find whatever you want to do as long as you've got a plan and are putting cards in a home where they're synergistic, I think you're going to have a good time. There's food payoffs. There's Insidious Roots. There's artifact and enchantment payoffs. There's multicolor mana sink stuff like Path of the World Tree. If you like playing soupy decks or you talked about everything pizza, that stuff is especially good with Fires of Invention, which I hadn't thought about. And some like one of the first times we sat down to the cube, like got crushed by a five color Path of the World Tree Fires of Invention deck. And I was just like, bravo.
Yeah,
you know, like it made my heart happy.
Yeah, how can you be mad about that? Someone's drafting like a Jund control deck with like Star of Extinction as their top end sweeper control card. Like there are things to do. Like I expect to see a lot of recurring decks. Like I was looking through the three rotisserie pods of the cubes and you know there's overlap of there's basically a sacrifice drafter in every pod. There's people building around Dance of the Mance or Dovin's Acuity or the Companions or Spider Spawning. Like there are the cards we've mentioned in this episode so far are represented and are steering people's drafts in ways you would expect. But then there's also like someone's drafting like a blue green draw two deck with Prophet's Eidetic Memory. I was like, oh, sick. Would not have thought to do that, you know, like people drafting like a Naya tokens deck, which is one of the decks that crushed me in one of the few drafts I've done of this cube. So it feels like there's sort of air quotes prescribed things or things that you and I are like, those would be my first thoughts of what to do in the cube. But there's definitely more to be explored, I think, just based on the nature of it.
I think that's one of the things that's most exciting about it, is that I do think we succeeded in several aspects, and gameplay remains to be seen, like how dynamic that is. But looking at the pack, certainly you feel joy. I think certainly you feel a sense of possibility, like while you're drafting, of like, well, I could do this, or I could do this, or this seems like a cool thing to try. Like that new format excitement with familiar friends is something I certainly think we've succeeded at with the cube.
Yeah, for sure. Shall we do like a few picks of a draft together?
Please, let's do. I also think, I'm curious if I did this right. Annie and Anthony on Lucky Paper Radio do episodes sometimes where they like post a draft and everybody can draft along with them, because supposedly you're seeing the same packs on Cube Cobra. So do you think that is true here? Like I think if we click this link and we navigate this draft at different times, you and I will be seeing the same drafts from bots. And so other people can see how they would draft along with us, even if they make different picks than us. Do you know what I mean?
I do. But that, like, I mean, that's cool, but that's also not how draft works. Like the idea that you're drafting with seven people who will make the same picks regardless of the information they receive.
Sure. Yeah.
But yes, then neither here nor there. Okay. Which of these links am I clicking?
Let's click the top one. I think there's a lot of good power outliers here to discuss.
Okay. All right.
But like per our sparking joy, I just clicked start draft, practice draft, practice draft, practice draft over and over for about 5 minutes and felt very happy every time I was looking at pack one, pick one. So cards that stand out here, and we'll just read the whole pack so you can get a sense of the cards. Mary's Outrider, 4 and a red, 4/4 reach. The domain deals damage equal to the number of basics. Probably not in consideration.
Probably not long for this cube's world. Like, does this card spark joy for you?
Absolutely. You hate DMU. That's the difference.
I do hate DMU. Yeah. Okay. All right.
That does spark joy for me. But okay. if it needs to go, it could go. Syncopate, blue X. I'm gonna try to be less precious about the cards that are in the cube. I think that has been a point of frustration for you.
Yeah.
As we've discussed making changes. Syncopate, blue X, instant, counter target spell, as the controller pays X. If it's countered this way, remove it from the game instead of putting it into its owner's graveyard. Also probably not in consideration. Gallant Strike, 1 and a white, instant, cycling 2 for those Drake Haven enjoyers out there. Destroy target creature with toughness 4 or greater. Lush Portico, the Surveil Land, green, white. Builder's Talent, build it, and they will come. Speaking of those tokens. So 1 and a white, chapter 1, saga, you get 0/4 defender, level 2 as a class, not a saga. Level 2, whenever one or more non-creature, non-land permanents you control enter, put a +1/+1 counter on target creature you control. And level 3, 4 and a white, when it becomes level 3, return target non-creature, non-land permanent from your graveyard to the battlefield. Very open-ended card that I think is extra juiced up in this style of format.
So certainly, of the 5 cards you have read so far, Builder's Talent is the best.
Oh, for sure. Like,
the other cards are like, I mean, Mary's Outrider, whatever, Syncopate and Gallant Strike, interactive spells, Lush Portico, fixing, but Builder's Talent is like, that's a thing you can do in the cube.
Yeah, I think if you, and this is true of drafting in general also, but more so cube than retail limited, I think, but you're trying to find one of two things early in a draft. You're either trying to find a card that is generically busted and pick it and put it in whatever deck, or you're trying to find a thing to do. And I certainly think in the Lords of the Limited cube, you should be trying to find a thing to do early on and then following that thing to do, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Builder's Talent, I think a thing to do, very open-ended thing to do. But yeah, certainly. And those other 4 cards don't meet a power level threshold for not being high synergy cards or things to do.
Mm-hmm.
Deadly Dispute up next. 1 and a black instant is initial cost to cast a spell, sack an artifact or creature, draw 2 cards and create a treasure token. There's Edifice of Authority, 3 mana artifact, 1 tap, target creature can't attack this turn, put a brick counter on it, and then you can pay 1 tap until your next turn, target creature can't attack or block, and its activated abilities can't be activated. Activate only if there are 3 or more brick counters. Like, that's one that I just have fond memories of from near when we started the podcast, but if that needs to go or something like that, that doesn't feel quite iconic to the podcast. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's it does a lot of things, like an artifact tapper like this, like it interacts with builder's talent. It's colorless removal, sort of like it's certainly a lower power card, but I don't feel like we need to cut it yet.
Speaking of things to do, Imminent Doom up next. 2 in a red enchantment. Imminent Doom enters the battlefield with a Doom counter on it. Whenever you cast a spell with converted mana cost equal to the number of Doom counters on Imminent Doom, it deals damage to target creature or player that much equal to the number of counters, and then you put a Doom counter. So it ticks up. You play a 1-drop, it deals 1 damage, gets a counter. You play a 2-drop, it deals 2 damage, gets a counter, so on and so forth. You champion this card early on, and I think we're right to do so. This is a very cool build around.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's very well supported in this cube with, like, there's a lot of dynamic. Like, the hardest thing about this card is getting a critical mass of one mana plays. And I feel like we have a lot of those that are also, like, you can do, like, whatever, fire magic or thunder magic. Like, cards that are, like, this is a one drop, but also you don't have to spend one mana on it. It can scale up the curve for you as well.
Mayhem Devil up next. 1BR for the 3/3. Whenever a player sacrifices a permanent, deals 1 damage to any target. I certainly think that is probably the most powerful card and synergistic card, like thing to do-ish thing we've seen so far.
Yeah, I think Mayhem Devil, Imminent Doom, and Builder's Talent feels like a just depends what day of the week it is.
What? Yeah. Certainly don't think you can go super wrong any direction. Mm-hmm. Depose Deploy is next. This is a split card. You can depose for 1 on Azorius, tap target creature, draw a card, or you can deploy for 2 white blue to create 2/1/1 colorless Thopter artifact creature tokens with flying, and then gain 1 life for each creature you control.
Plays in the token space, plays in the secret 2-drop for Karuga space. What's not to love?
Plays in the spell space in general, the cantrip spell space. Yeah, there's a lot going on there. Realm Sketching, 2BB for a sorcery. Create a token that's a copy of target artifact, creature, or land.
Sure. Does this spark joy for you, this card?
Doesn't spark joy, but I think it's a cool card. Yeah, okay. That could be on the chopping block if it needs to be.
Okay.
Ethan's like, yes, got him.
Cut it. You heard it, folks. Get it out of here.
Bottomless Pool and Locker Room is up next. This does spark joy. Bottomless Pool, whenever you unlock this room, return up to 1 target creature to its owner's hand. Locker Room, 4 and a blue, whenever 1 or more creatures you control deal combat damage to a player, draw a card. Drakehaven itself is in this pack. 2 and a blue for an enchantment. Whenever you cycle or discard a card, you can pay 1. If you do, create a 2/2 basic, not basic, blue Drake creature token with flying. Could take this Drakehaven, wheel that Gallant Strike?
Yeah, certainly. Or, I mean, you're bearing the lead slightly. 2 more cards left in the pack.
Yeah, there's an Arabella Abandoned Doll, red white for the 1/3. Whenever Arabella attacks, deals X damage each opponent, you gain X life, where X is the number of creatures you control, power 2 or less. Part of that beatdown type strategy that we seeded into the cube. And Monument to Endurance, bringing up the rear here. 3 mana for the artifact. Whenever you discard a card, choose one that hasn't been chosen this turn. Draw a card, create a treasure token. Each opponent loses 3 life.
So for me, I'm looking at like the 5 air quotes build arounds, or the 5 like key cards for a deck, which is Monument to Endurance, Drakehaven for the cycling discard deck, Mayhem Devil for sacrifice, Imminent Doom is its own thing, and Builder's Talent for whatever non-creature token stuff.
Yeah, and I think probably with there being 2 cycling cards, I would like to take one of those 2 and try to wheel the other and just go absolute ham.
Oh, interesting. See, both of them being in the pack makes me not want to take either of them, because I would think certainly someone is good. If I take Monument, I guess you would take Monument and you would hope no one takes Drakehaven.
Right, which probably unlikely. But then also, if you don't wheel Drakehaven, you can pump the brakes and go somewhere else. I think there is a lot of room to pivot and move around in this cube.
And if you do wheel it, which wheeling Drakehaven is not crazy, having both Monument and Drakehaven after pack one is pretty sick.
Pretty sick. That's too juicy for me to pass up, but I don't think you can go wrong with any of those 5 cards.
But I think you're also right to be thinking about the wheels. Like, I'm looking at Mayhem Devil and I'm like, I could take Mayhem Devil and maybe I wheel Deadly Dispute, which is a sack card that then makes a treasure that will also trigger Mayhem Devil. Builder's Talent, I'm not really seeing anything I would love to wheel for Builder's Talent, so that makes it a little less appealing to me. Imminent Doom, Imminent Doom wheeled Bottomless Pool, which is a 1-drop.
But it doesn't have converted mana cost of 1, does it? When you cast Bottomless Pool, does that card have CMC 1 or does it have CMC 6?
It has CMC 1, I would assume.
Okay.
Yeah. judge. I guess I don't know. But I like Take Monument Wheel Drakehaven. Should we do another pack one pick one? Should we go to the next pick with Monument?
Let's do another pack one pick one, because I don't think we're gonna have enough time to really get into the how picks inform your picks of it all. And I tried to get pick packs that didn't have as many build rounds. Let's skip down to the bottom link.
Okay, great. Sounds good.
And this is, I think, there's not as many archetype, defining cards here, but there are a couple of the same cards.
Okay.
So there's Builder's Talent. There's an opt, single blue instant, draw a card, look at the top card of your library, you can put that card on the bottom of your library. Like, that's great once you know you're doing spell stuff. Mm-hmm. Till you know that, that's certainly fine. Less appealing.
Yeah.
Phalagi Archaeologist, this is one in a blue for the 03. When it enters mill 3, you can put a non-creature, non-land card from among the milled cards into your hand. If you don't, put a +1/+1 counter on Phalagi Archaeologist.
Archaeologist is sweet. Like, I feel like it's unassuming, but like, there's a lot of... One, there's graveyard stuff. It plays well with Approach of the Second Sun, digs you 3, helps find that card. Plays well with Dance of the Mance, fills your graveyard. Like, I feel like there's a blue-white artifact, like Builder's Talent, Dance of the Mance thing you can do too.
Spoken like somebody who was thinking about how many people wanted a Phalagi Archaeologist in the Roto draft.
Wait, is that true?
I don't know. You seemed like you had thought about, this is going to be a highly contested card, maybe for multiple different drafters.
Yeah. I guess it's not on my it's not on my list, but I like the card in this cube.
There's Rafine's Informant, 1 and a white, 2/1. When it enters the battlefield, it connives. Streets of New Capenna House,
mm-hmm.
Stomping Ground, the red green duel. Abrade, 1 and a red instant, choose 1, deals 3 damage to target creature or destroy target artifact. Leyline Binding, 5 and a white enchantment flash. Domain costs 1 less to cast for each basic land type among lands you control. And when it enters the battlefield, exile target non-land permanent opponent controls until Leyline Binding leaves the battlefield. I could see this one going, potentially, or a braid. Both of those feel a little...
generic.
Out of place when I'm looking at this pack.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we would... Like, removal does not spark joy. So it's going to be very easy to like cut
to cut the removal,
not too much interaction. So we want to keep that in check just slightly, I think.
I do think we have a good amount of interaction in the cube. I think what to your point, we don't have a lot of mass interaction, and then maybe we need more of that.
Yeah.
There's Bottomless Pool Locker Room again. There's Queen Brani from Final Fantasy, 2 and a red for the 2/1 prowess. Whenever she attacks, create a 0/1 black wizard creature token with whenever a non-creature spell. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell, it deals 1 damage to each opponent. There's Gleaming Geardrake, given a second chance for life here. Blue red for the MKM uncommon, 1/1 flyer. When it enters the battlefield, investigate. And whenever you sacrifice an artifact, put a +1/+1 counter on Gleaming Geardrake. Gets a lot better when you got a high density of treasures and clues and other stuff floating around in the Lords of Limited cube.
Mm-hmm.
Toll of the Invasion. Speaking of format bangers, 2 and a black sorcery, target opponent reveals their hand, choose a non-land card from it. That player discards that card, amass 1. Twinshot Sniper, 3 and a red, 2/3 reach. Whenever Twinshot Sniper enters the battlefield, it deals 2 damage to any target, and you can channel it for 1 and a red to support that Monument of Endurance life to deal 2 damage to any target.
Well, this card just like plays well in the discard space. It's an artifact which matters. It's a secret 2-drop for Karuga that matters. Card's really cool.
It's a 2-drop that puts 2 types into the graveyard for Delirium whenever you want.
It puts itself in the graveyard to get back with Dance of the Mance. Like, it's good.
Case of the Gateway Express is up next. 1 and a white for an uncommon enchantment case. Whenever this case enters the battlefield, choose target creature you don't control. Each creature you control deals 1 damage to that creature. And then to solve it, you have 3 or more creatures that attack this turn. And when it's solved, creatures you control get +1/+0.
This is a cool card. To exist. Like, this is the kind, like, I feel like this, I look at it, I'm like, this feels like the kind of removal spell I want in the cube.
Yeah, certainly much more flavorful than Leyline Binding living here.
Right, yeah.
I think Leyline Binding feels jarring because it feels like it's a vintage cube card to me. I think that's what sticks out to me about it.
And we have, like, there is a 5-color thing going on. And we have the, like, if we didn't have the tri-lands, it would feel slightly less supported. Though, like, you can do a 5-color thing in the cube. I don't know. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. I'm not arguing for it to be gone. I'm just thinking about the pack texture. It feels off
mm-hmm.
for me for some reason. So Capitech Wrecker up next, one of the few ways to totally hose artifacts and enchantments. I think a very good card in the cube, one in a green, 1/3. Enters with a Death Touch counter on it, and it has an Ninjutsu for one in a green, and whenever it deals combat damage to a player, you can remove a Death Touch counter from it. When you do, exile target artifact or enchantment that player controls. And then flick a coin, two in a red, instant, flick a coin, deals one damage to any target, you create a treasure token, draw a card. So notice in this pack, there's much less cards where we're going like, yeah, this is a thing you can do. Yeah, this is a thing you can do. Yeah, this is a thing you can do. This is a much lower power level pack with a lot more good filler type cards than something that points you in a direction.
I mean, I still really like Builder's Talent and would probably take it here. If you remove Builder's Talent, I think there's a lot more discussion to be had, but I'm curious your thoughts.
I think even with Builder's Talent, you could make a case for Capitech Wrecker. That card is powerful. It's never going to be bad, and you can make it synergistic, and it interacts with your opponent's artifacts and enchantments.
I totally agree, but it's effectively, like, once it kills an artifact or enchantment, I guess it's synergistic in the, you know, whatever, you attack with Inspiring Overseer, Ninjutsu, and Capitech Wrecker. That feels like you're
right.
getting quite a bit of value. Yeah, that's fair.
But I think also, if Builder's Talent doesn't, if you're not like, yes, Builder's
Right, if it doesn't spark joy for you.
Right. There, I think, I don't want to present it as like the first thing you see to do, you have to latch on to. You know what I mean? Because there's so many things to do. So find, if you're not into Builder's Talenting, find a card that is generically good. Like take a Capitech Wrecker, take an Abrade here. If you like domain stuff, you can steer towards that by taking a Leyline Binding. If you know you're going to be picking lands highly anyway. If you love artifact synergy, take a Gleaming Gear Drake. But also you can move off anything you take out of this pack very easily. I think you don't have to latch on to whatever you start with here.
Right. So you could take Builder's Talent and then be pushed off of it. But you could also take Phalagi Archaeologist, I think, is a totally fine, like, it's going to be synergistic and extraordinary.
In a number of decks, a number of strategies.
Very flexible for you. So that's where I would lean too, is like, what card is likely to be very good for me?
In the styles of decks I want to draft when I sit down at this.
Yeah. Do you think how soon do you want to know the thing that you're doing in this cube currently?
The drafts that I've done, which we've done like what, two, maybe three drafts. I've derped and diddled around for like till the middle of pack two and found something, I think.
Okay.
Because I really was jonesing for the cards I really wanted to play with. Like I hadn't seen a Fires. I hadn't seen Clear the Mind, Bath Song. Like I wanted to do one of the things that I really loved doing and was trying to hedge until I saw, like, hedge my bets about, like, well, these cards are going to be synergistic in a variety of strategies, kind of like what you said with Phalagi Archaeologist, while waiting for one of the true linchpin build arounds that I would consider from the cube.
Yeah.
But then I've also pack one, pick one Lurrus and, you know, been off to the races.
It's so good. It's maybe too supported. That's the thing about Lurrus in the cube, but can't have a Lurrus.
But I also lost that draft. Like I pack one, picked one Lurrus and didn't win. I lost to a very good graveyard deck that pooped out tons of 2/1s from that green plot card or whatever.
User error, I would say.
User error, you would say. Yeah. But I certainly think overarchingly, I wouldn't get caught up in how quickly you're locking into a thing to do. I think there are a lot of things to do and a lot of cards that have a lot of bleed, like, and was intentionally designed that way.
I do think, like, at least for myself, because I've designed the cube, so almost every card in the cube makes me go, ooh, like I have the tendency to get like, ooh, I could do this. Ooh, I could do this. And you kind of have to, because everything is more or less supported, at a certain point, you do have to decide, like, are you doing a Builder's Talent tokens thing, or are you doing Monument to Endurance discard? Like, figure it out.
Sure. And it's certainly easier to make that decision from the first pack we looked at, right? Because there was just more of it there and more clear options and linchpin art cards for a different type of strategy. But that was one of the things that we talked about when we made the cube too. Like I was pushing for Feasting Troll King or something. And like, this was a philosophical discussion we had about the cube early on, was when I look at a pack, I like seeing a power outlier and knowing, oh, there's a power outlier. Let me go after it and draft this as a result. And I think you like looking at a pack and seeing five or six flat options and saying, ooh, which one of these five or six flat options am I feeling today? And starting from a point where you chose pack one, pick one, and then navigating your way from there. And I think we've got a bit of both going on.
Yeah. I do like less. I feel like cube is less fun when it's like, you have to take this card. You have to take card X, I think, is a bad feeling.
Well, certainly when it's Soul Ring or Mox Ruby or whatever. But in this, if you open a pack with Feasting Troll King and then you do the Feasting Troll King food thing one day, and then the next draft you open Monument to Endurance and you do the Monument Endurance thing.
Feasting Troll King is, you don't have to do a food thing. You just have to do a forest thing. That's my problem.
You just have to do a forest thing.
Yeah. Feasting Troll King is not a synergistic card in that way to me.
Yeah. A different discussion for a different podcast episode.
For sure.
All right. Any last thoughts to get out about the Lords of Limited Cube, or do you leave it all on the field here?
I left it on the field. I mean, I'm excited. Like I said, I feel like we're going to have some data after these rotisserie drafts, and I would like to do some hacking and adding.
There will certainly be an overhaul, I'm sure, after the roto drafts. And as somebody who is not participating, it has given me great joy to just look at the spreadsheet and see, you know, pop in and see, oh, this was a slow day. We only got another two rows added. Oh, this was a good day. We got another five rows added or whatever.
Well, and now we're in double pick territory. So it's going quick. I think we're maybe 10 picks away, which is five rounds of picks away from being done and ready to play the games. So
are we going to selfishly get any YouTube video recorded content from this gameplay, or is this going to be all streamed, all personal benefit?
Is that what you would you like? Am I hearing a request?
I mean, certainly if there were YouTube content provided to me from the gameplay of these roto drafts, I would absolutely be snapping that up. I don't know how big of an audience that is and how much of a lift it is for you, but.
Okay. Heard. Well, we'll see what we can do for you, just because you asked nicely.
As a friend.
Okay. Yeah, I got you.
All right. And on that note, great place to wrap us up. Thank you as always to Salty Pretzels for our intro and outro music. Make sure you give it a listen.
You can find all our content at lordsoflimited.com. There's links to our episode backlog, our YouTube channel, our Twitch streams, our merch, our Patreon page, any or all of that available at lordsoflimited.com.
If you've got any feedback about the show or any questions, shoot us an email at lordsoflimited@gmail.com.
Thanks so much for listening, and we'll catch you next week for another episode of Lords of Limited.
Thanks, everybody. See you later.